This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Matt, I'm really excited for this because about 3 years ago, I was making a video about great things from MTV that have nothing to do with music. And in doing my research for that, I said, I always hear about Remote Control. I've never watched it. Many episodes have been uploaded to YouTube. And I started rocking through it. And I genuinely think this is one of the strangest but most interesting artifacts of the late 80s, early 90s, like game show attitude. I feel like this is a precursor in every way to what would be like the 90s Nickelodeon game shows in its vibe and style. And Al has appeared on it twice, at a minimum twice, once as a celebrity category and then once as a contestant.
Yes.
So we didn't watch the whole episode. We just watched the category sequence when he showed up. And then
I will say, I did watch the whole episode. He does reappear briefly. I will give you that information.
Cool.
Yes, I did. I did wind up watching the entire, because I was enjoying it so much. I actually jumped to the Al bit and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna see this through.
I was going to ask you, so this was, I think I've talked to you about this before. You have never seen Remote Control until this moment.
I had never seen Remote Control up until this.
Delightful is this low budget weird
it's
game
amazing
show.
And you know, it reminded me so much of we did a couple other Al game show appearances where he was on Family Double Dare and on Hollywood Squares. I think that I have just established nostalgia for 80s game shows into 90s game shows, because they are so, it is shocking how little editing they did.
We'll
like,
get into
the number
that
of sequences that are just like, how did they not? They even, the host of the show at one point actually says, we're going to have to edit this, but they didn't. It's just all there.
We'll get into that when we do the episode where it's him, LL Cool J, and Julie Brown, because so many awkward silences that would clearly get edited out in any other circumstance. But I want this show to come back so badly. I feel like in our binge watching culture of society, like a show like this that celebrates being a couch potato is like the exact type of show that we need right now.
I totally agree. At the very top, this is actually before in the regular episode of Remote Control, before Al actually appears, there is, because something like this happens in the celebrity one too, but one of the contestants actually says
their buzzer doesn't work.
Her buzzer is broken. She's like, my buzzer doesn't work. The host, whose name I don't have in front of me, I should know it.
We'll just
it's
call
Ken.
Him Ken. Yeah.
Ken. Ken walks across the set, grabs her buzzer, blows on it.
Yeah.
Like a Nintendo cartridge. And then tests it again. He was like, yeah, no, it works fine.
Yeah.
And like, that's in the episode. They aired that. Like, it is the weirdest. Like, she is like, oh, my buzzer's not working. At that, like, the number of times people insist that their buzzer is not working across just two episodes
of
the show.
Oh, I've watched multiple episodes.
I was stunned.
It's hysterical. So,
oh, my God.
Now you've watched two episodes. You get the rough idea. You're changing the channels. Each channel is a new category. You memorize what categories are on what channels, so you can always go back to a channel that you feel particularly confident in.
Each channel has three questions, I believe. So you run it down, and once that's over, But you're picking from channels. It's 1 through 9, I believe, right?
Yes.
And you're answering questions based on. It's mostly television. There's a handful of music. There's like a sing along. Oh boy, another crazy one. There's a sing along channel
with Colin Quinn.
where Colin Quinn, a young Colin Quinn, is singing AC/DC lyrics with zero pitch or tone or rhythm whatsoever.
Such a great bit. It's so good. And that's my favorite thing about when they do that is that it's not even like he's singing a difficult song for you to solve. It's just that he sings it so poorly and with like no rhythm whatsoever that you're like, is this the song I think it is?
Colin
and it's
Quinn
backed
singing
by a Casio keyboard, so it's like just off enough.
Yeah, he's singing You Shook Me All Night Long. And for a minute, I was like, oh, yeah, some of these lyrics would be hard. But no one even needs to know the lyrics to the verse. All they need to know is that he's singing You Shook Me All Night Long.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause that's, they're like, you have to finish the phrase, which is just the chorus of the song. I was like, oh, well, that's easier than I thought it was going to be. I thought, like, if they have to sing, like, the fourth line of the verse following what you just did, that would have been a nightmare. That's way harder.
I mean, you saw the caliber of these guests. So, or these hosts, or these contestants. The caliber of these contestants is not top-notch.
Not top-notch. Although, I have to say, in this episode where Al is the guest, the guy Adam, who I love, Colin Quinn at one point makes a joke and says that Adam looks like the bad guy in a John Hughes movie.
Yes.
Which he really does. Could not look like more like a jock, like blonde-haired, like football jock. But he did pretty well. He did know a fair amount. He absolutely whiffs it in the final round, which I know you didn't watch. I did. He completely blows it.
Did they, for their final round on that episode, is it the same as what Al's final round is?
Yes.
Or is it the,
yes.
Okay.
It's so, like 10 music videos playing at once, and he needs to name the artist.
So they did
the
it two different ways. The one was that you were like strapped into a bed and you just had to call out the videos.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I liked even more that was more ridiculous was that they strapped you onto a wheel that was spinning with TVs surrounding it. And as you're spinning, you have to call out what the videos are.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Sounds much harder. This version, Adam still really had a very hard time with.
But they get the category of Al TV. Weird Al comes out. And he's asking these very long, intricate questions. The first question, he starts to say, I might not be as sexy as her. And like the dude buzzes and he's like, Madonna. And I was like, let me finish the question.
That's wrong. Let me finish the question.
And then the answer ends up being that Playboy was the correct answer.
Playboy magazine was the answer. Although even that guy, like Al still gets the question cut off.
Yeah.
And then the other guy chimes in and says Playboy magazine. And Al was like, yeah, that's actually correct. Like, I don't even know what the question he was building to was. It was something related to Madonna.
Yeah, it was related to
Playboy
Madonna.
Playboy magazine. And but that guy connected dots that I did not have.
No,
at the ready.
Not at all. Second question I knew the answer to. And it was about Michael Jackson's monkey's name and how you and I, who were not alive at that time, know it's Bubbles.
I cannot believe that none of the three of them knew that Michael Jackson's monkey was Bubbles.
The answers that they got were Bubby, Monk, and Weird Al Yankovic.
And Weird Al Yankovic, because there's no penalty in remote control to guess incorrectly.
Yeah, so you might as well go for
it. Everyone just kind of chimes in and tries. But yeah, I could not believe it. It was so weird. These people knew really impressively obscure facts. Like, again, early in the show, they asked a question. Side note, there was a whole category early in the episode about the Brady Bunch, which, of course, you know how much we love talking about the Brady Bunch. They asked a question about the layout of the house.
And
someone
it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Someone was like, oh, if you're in this room, the door to the far side is whose bedroom? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's deep. And that was correct. But someone didn't know that Bubbles is Michael Jackson's. Come on,
but, man, did they
break,
all know
guys.
What the bad movie was that Living in America showed up in.
Al called it a bad movie.
Yeah, I took a little bit of umbrage with that. I'm like, I think Rocky IV is probably one of the most watchable Rocky movies.
Yeah, he shows his video for Living with a Hernia and said the original version of this song was featured in what bad movie? and it's Rocky IV, which, of course, again, our boy Adam, John Hughes' villain, he got it right away, and he was very excited. That guy was very excited to be there.
Yeah.
Every and time then, he answered a question, he was like, woo!
And then Al exits dramatically. And then you said Al comes back.
Al comes back. So then as the show goes on, when someone gets eliminated, they're in like these sort of like recliner, like, you know, lazy boys. And if someone loses, they get eliminated. The lazy boy kind of pulls back on a track and they kind of leave the set. And in this context, as the chair pulls back, it takes them behind the scenes and the camera cuts back there. And as soon as the chair goes back, it's just Al there playing accordion. over their heads. It's like him just like play, and it's the joke is supposed to be that they are being tortured by Al's accordion playing.
I feel like they had to have stopped doing it because I'm sure someone got hurt, but at least in the early episodes, one of the recliners folds back into the wall like a Murphy bed. Like they're strapped into the recliner and it like flips them up into the wall.
It didn't really flip up. It just kind of pulls them backwards.
Yeah, there is the pull one too. They would have like different ones previously.
And then as for the final end, I already said Adam is the guy who gets to the final round. He has to name 10 music videos. He, I think, gets maybe 4, not even close. But the other thing that happens is Remote Control was a very early show that featured multiple cameo appearances by a young Adam Sandler.
And we get some Adam Sandler in the full episode as well.
We do, but in this one, Adam comes out and does another little bit. He's playing a character. His character is referred to as the delinquent.
Pigpen the trivia delinquent.
Pigpen the trivia delinquent. He's basically, to me, I was like, he looks like his character in Airheads.
This is a pre-Saturday Night Live.
This is pre-anything for Adam. Because I was going to say, it was hilarious to me that Adam appears and walks out on set and gets absolutely zero audience response. Like, he is just nobody anyone has ever seen before. And I don't know if, I feel like I've never seen that happen for someone like Adam Sandler. Yeah. He just walks out to no reaction whatsoever. It was the weirdest thing. And then I would say the only reason why it's worth watching this entire episode is at the very, very end in the, like, while the credits are rolling, the two contestants who have lost are back behind the scenes again. And it is Adam Sandler and those two failed contestants, and Al on the accordion is playing Inagata DeVita. And Adam Sandler is next to him rocking out with Al playing Inagata DeVita on the accordion. Guys,
amazing.
I didn't know. I didn't know that was a thing I could see in my life, but it's there at the end of this Remote Control episode where Al is a guest. I would just treat yourself to that. It's only a couple seconds, but boy, did it fill me with joy.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
And then we get to, unfortunately, probably the worst kept copy of any Remote Control episode.
Oh, it's brutal.
But it is LL Cool J, Weird Al, and Julie Brown. And we don't even get the start of the episode. We're just writing the gameplay.
Yeah. Side note. LL Cool J is there with a bodyguard.
Yep.
LL Cool J has a bodyguard standing behind him for the whole episode. And I thought it was a bit. I thought it was a joke. But I don't think it was.
LL Cool J also has clearly never watched a single second of this show. And is the source of multiple long staring contests with the host.
He doesn't realize he's
supposed to ask a question or anything.
He also answers questions without buzzing in. He just shouts the answer. And at one point, they're like, yeah, we'll give it to him.
Yeah. There are at least two points where he says the wrong answer. And they're just like, sure. Like at one, he goes, it was Merv or Mary or something. And they're like,
and
sure.
They're like, yeah, well, okay, we'll give you that. And again,
or he calls it the holy poly. The answer is the hokey pokey.
Well, they did not give him that.
Oh, because Julie buzzed in first.
He just called the... He calls the hokey pokey the holy poly. Oh my God, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I just have to say.
But he looks like he's having a blast. Like
as much as the show is about Weird Al, watching this episode, LL Cool J is having so much fun. Like he is, like the look, the smile on his face is so genuine. It made me so happy. It made me so happy. Like this dude is having a blast. Also, LL is smart. He knew the answers to a lot of questions. He did very, very well.
He got Los Lobos before Al did.
Los Lobos for a La Bamba before Al. He buzzed in before Al, which I was like, wow, that's impressive. Yeah. Oh my God. His, just, yeah. Unfortunately, Julie Brown is the one who kind of gets the least screen time in this, but between Al and LL, man, oh my God, they are great. So fun.
It's a lot of fun. So one of the segments I've actually never seen, I guess this was a very short-lived bit, is that you could turn on to the wrong channel, which was the Ranger Bob safety channel, where you just lose some points and you have to watch this like bloodied, destroyed man just give you a safety tip.
Yeah, like LL picks a category. It was like, oh, sorry, you got Ranger Bob. And yeah, this guy is just giving like safety lessons. And then it cuts back to LL, who has this look on his face of like, what am I supposed to do with this? And the guy's like, you can pick again. You can pick again. And LL's like, all right. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. And then
that was, yeah.
Al swoops in immediately. The first question that I see Al get, well, Al buzzes in. He gets control of the board. He starts like sweeping. The whole time,
He gets a Star Trek question first. He gets asked about Star Trek and gets that right.
Julie, and this is where Julie Brown complains about her buzzer for the first time. Correct. She complains like two or three times throughout this episode that it's not working.
Side note, in the previous episode, the person complaining about the buzzer was also the middle seat, also a woman. It was two men and a woman in the middle seat. That episode also, the woman in the middle seat was like, my buzzer does not work.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I don't know how rigged this was. It seems pretty interesting to me.
Al definitely gets a question about Beverly Hillbillies early on.
Al gets a question about Beverly Hillbillies. Al also gets a question about Gilligan's Island.
He gets a question about Gilligan's Island. He gets a question about Christie Brinkley, who married Billy Joel. Lot of Al-isms that happen.
Yes.
But
he also gets it's a Partridge Family. He gets asked about Shirley Jones from the Partridge Family.
But he can't remember the theme song, though.
He misses the theme song to the Partridge Family, which is interesting. But he gets asked a question. It's about, the category is Partridge Family. And the question is, I should have written it down verbatim, but it's something like, this Partridge Family cast member was the only one to be an award nominee for their portrayal of a prostitute.
Yes.
And Al buzzes, and before he can even answer, I think he says it quickly, but then he has this, like such a genuine hysterical laugh.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's just processed the question and been like, what a bizarre way to frame this question. He's like, Shirley Jones. It was just this funny moment of like, you know, we've said before, like, it's such a funny thing with Al where it's like, we feel like we know him, but also he's always in character in some form, right? That felt like a really genuine break. I feel like he really like had a funny moment there where he just like, it was such a sincere laugh on his part because of, the fun he was having. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
We said this already, but I feel like I have to stress again. This show is so loose and fun. Like last week we talked about Al Music, and it's the same similar vibe of like, there's no second takes of anything here. This is just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's extremely loose. Literally jokes about, oh boy, we're going to have to edit this later. And just, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
They just kept everything in. It's great. It's very, very charming. Super fun to watch. And again, you really can tell that, especially LL, boy, is he having a good time.
He's having a good time.
He's really enjoying his day.
We talked about it already, but yeah, you get a young Colin Quinn showing up there. He awkwardly sings the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah. I also love their like, oh, this is like the category is like, you have to finish the sing along. And it's like, you've seen the hook, like what's the next line of a song that they sing. And they're doing like popular songs. Like again, one of them is like AC/DC. And then they do the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah. Or like, the Holy Poly.
The Holy Poly, depending on where you're from. But yeah, LL Cool J attempting to finish singing the Hokey Pokey by calling it the Holy Poly. I think I rewound and watched that five times. Because boy, that's just so good. So good.
Then we get Adam Sandler shows up again. He's Pigpen, the trivia delinquent. This is where LL gets Los Lobos before Al does. Now, I think Al gets the second question, though, and I don't remember what that second question is.
I don't either. I don't have a note on that. I have the Los Lobos thing, which LL gets, and then after that, or at the very end, this one's structured slightly differently. The first episode I saw, they eliminate people one at a time, but in this one, they get to a point where they just make it a lightning round, and it's like, oh, we're going to determine the winner based on this lightning round, and the lightning round is finishing the name of a Beatles song,
which
holy
Jesus
cow,
Christ.
Al destroys. Al was, I think, maybe trailing, at the start.
He
of
was
this
at the
round.
End. He was in third place at this point. And we know Al's smart. There's a part of me that almost, I don't want to say that Al threw the game, but I think that Al's the only one who knows the game. I think he's watched the game before and he knew that there would be a speed round and
probably
was just like, I'm going to take it easy until this lightning round comes in. Because I don't even think LL appears to even attempt to buzz in when
there's Beatles Al also, there's a shot early on I forgot about where, again, talking about the bad editing of this, they ask a question. I can't remember what the question was. And then someone buzzes and then LL says the answer. And the host, Ken, is like, yeah, that's right. You got it. And he's explaining. And all of a sudden, the producer off stage yells over and it was like Al was the one who buzzed in.
Yeah.
Al buzzed in, but then LL yelled the answer and everyone said, LL, you got it. And Al, they cut to Al and Al is like, that's fine. LL can have it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's that's the level of editing and professionalism is on this show. Al literally buzzed in, but gives his points to LL. So anyway, that's just
another example.
He
was going to destroy in this. I think Julie Brown gets one answer and the rest is all Al.
Julie gets one, maybe two, but like it is a lightning round where they are just reading and like she came in through the, you know, bathroom window and like all of these things in a row. Al clearly knew every single Beatles song. He might've missed the buzzer on a couple, but
yeah,
it definitely wasn't
that he didn't know the answer. It was just the quickness of buzzing in at that point.
Before the start of it, LL Cool J has more points than Al. And by the end of the lightning round, Al has double the points of LL Cool J.
Yeah,
it is a bloodbath.
It is
a Beatles
insane.
Bloodbath.
And then, yes, Al goes to the final segment, which is where he's strapped in a bed. And, I mean, with time to spare, he gets all 10 of these music videos. It is insane.
He had to pass on two of them for like a second. But he flies through the videos. He wins $5,000 for a charity of his choice, which is wonderful. $5,000, again, funny, in 1990 money or whatever year this was. Now that feels very low for a game show.
But that's a pretty substantial amount. But yeah.
Back then, that was definitely very substantial.
And it went to a children's cancer foundation.
You gotta love that. One other note here, I just love, like, in terms of the weird, scrappy nature of this show. At a couple moments, very randomly, out of nowhere, the camera cuts to the audience, where a whole bunch of people are up on their feet, jumping up and down and chanting for one of the guests. Like, there's a moment where there's like this whole subset of the crowd who are chanting for Julie Brown. And just suddenly the camera cuts over there and everyone's just like, we love Julie. And they're holding signs. It's like, what prompted this?
Yeah.
Like, they're in the middle of a line of questioning. All of a sudden, everyone is like freaking out for Julie. It happens for, I think Al is actually the only one who does not have a crowd chant along that's shown at one point. At one point, LL, LL finishes a lyric of a song and he is encouraged to sing it back, like, professionally, and the crowd freaks out like he's gonna do it, and then Al's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. But
Julie Brown,
chaos.
Just to clarify, not to be confused for Downtown Julie Brown, who was in fact an MTV VJ.
Not Downtown Julie Brown. Regular Julie Brown.
Just regular ass Julie Brown.
Midtown Julie Brown.
But I am almost bummed that Al didn't show up more on Remote Control, because man, would I love an excuse to just watch more episodes of this show.
I know, right? Well, I feel like I am I would love to. I think I might have to now do what you did and do a deeper dive. I did a brief one in anticipation of this. Just to note that this show was created by a guy named Joe Davola.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very early show of his. But after this, he went on to produce and develop a few other shows. And I'm going to name them right now. Some of those projects include All That,
nice.
The Amanda Show, The Nick Cannon Show, One Tree Hill, What I Like About You, and Smallville.
Wow.
So this dude is successful.
Yeah. No,
he's really done well. But he was like, he started his career at MTV. This was like a very early thing for him. As we mentioned, Colin Quinn is like the announcer/sidekick of the show. Adam Sandler is a guest. Apparently Dennis Leary worked on this show.
Yeah, Dennis Leary does a lot of stuff on the show as well.
I mean, this really is a very, it's a wild thing to see, like, all of these very talented people in this really early, scrappy project. It's great. I highly recommend, I mean, again, I've only seen these two episodes, but I will definitely be watching more. I would strongly recommend people check these out. Even Al's presence is kind of brief, and, you know, LL, in my opinion, might steal the show, but it's still very much worth watching. They are great.
You might like this little fun fact from the Wikipedia, actually.
Mm.
Weird Al Yankovic. So there's a list on here that says celebrities who appeared on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It says Weird Al Yankovic. Weird Al Yankovic came into the basement as a category/channel. In addition, he also tortured that episode's two losing contestants as they were eliminated.
There you go.
And then it says this was the only time that the backstage portion of the set has ever been shown.
Wow. Okay, there you go.
So a little bit of a specialness from Al that we got to see what happened back there. But yeah, we'll be back next week, guys. You've been waiting for it. We're in the 90s officially, with a little bit of Nirvana and maybe one of your favorite guests coming
smells
back.
Smells like it might be a good time.
It smells like it might.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.